Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries around the world over the Internet. Now, for more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on Hurricane Katrina when we come back. You know, once in a while we get a glimpse of the real world through the eyes of an insider like John Swinton. He was the former editor of the New York Tribune. He said, "There's no such thing at this date of world's history in America as an independent press. You know it and I know it. And there's not one of you who dares to write your honest opinions, and if you did, you know beforehand that it would never appear in print. I'm paid weekly for keeping my honest opinion out of the paper that I'm connected with, and others of you are paid similar salaries for similar things, and any of you who would be so foolish as to write your honest opinions would be out on the streets looking for another job. Now, if I allowed my honest opinions to appear in one issue of my paper before 24 hours, my occupation would be gone." The business of journalists is to destroy the truth, to lie outright, to pervert, to vilify, to fawn at the feet of mammon, and to sell his country and his race for his daily bread. You know it, and I know it. And what folly is this toasting an independent press? We are the tools and vassals of rich men behind the scenes. We are the jumping jacks. They pull the strings and we dance. Our talents, our possibilities, and our lives are all the property of other men. We are intellectual prostitutes. Now, was that statement made by some fella from Russia talking about his Vestia? No, John Swinton was speaking in 1880 in New York State. That was the state of the press, of the news media in 1880. Now, these rich men behind the scenes that he was speaking about are the movers and shakers of the Global 2000 program and the New World Order, men and families like the Windsors and Rockefellers, Bushes, Bundys, Carnegies, and Vanderbilts. Now, that's why I contend that it's time for us to wise up and start listening more to the God of Abraham and stop following after all these crazy scientists, these philosophers, these preachers and politicians, and let's prepare to live through and survive this New World Order and this Global 2000 insanity. Now, if you'd like to learn more about Global 2000, Bible prophecy, and this New World Order, why don't you call and order my free 4-hour compact disc package? It's educational, it's entertaining, it's informative, best of all, it's free. And you can call and order yours right now. The number to call, 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to the website, georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email and then send an email request for that free general law CD package. Remember, georgegordon.org, or call direct, 417-273-4967. Well, boys and girls, we have just lived through and witnessed an event of biblical proportions, Hurricane Katrina. Never before in the history of this country has there been a disaster. In fact, I'm going to upgrade that to catastrophe that we have just seen with this hurricane. A hurricane, by the way, that was predicted, I can remember, 25 years ago in New Orleans when one of my students explained to me that the city of New Orleans was about 5 feet below sea level. He said some of the city is even further below sea level than that, and that they expected a hurricane to come in and hit behind New Orleans on Lake Pontchartrain, which would flood New Orleans and kill 50,000 people. That was 25 years ago. I'm from California, so it wasn't too surprising that, like San Francisco, which is expecting the big one, you know, the San Andreas Fault, the big earthquake that's going to occur at some point in time. And when in 1906 there was a big earthquake, it killed a few people and destroyed the city. But now there's so many more people that live in the Bay Area, they expect that the casualties will be in the thousands. Just like New Orleans, they expected the fatalities to be in the thousands. Fortunately for those people, it's in the hundreds, not the thousands. Unlike the great tidal wave over in Indonesia, which killed up to 300,000 people, or the great typhoon that struck Bangladesh back in the early 1970s and killed 500,000 people, it isn't so much the number of people that were killed. That's not what's making the headlines. It's the economic fallout, the economic damage that this Hurricane Katrina has wreaked upon the United States. Now, I reported to you the damage caused by the Trade Tower attack on 9/11. And I said at the time, I said, this is a trillion-dollar hit. The Trade Tower, as a military operation or a military exercise or attack, was the most successful and the most costly single military attack in the history of the world. Never before had anything like it been done. I said at the time that that was enough to destroy the American economy, and indeed, the American economy from 9/11 on has been on a track of implosion because it's forced us to print money to keep from going into depression. We're going into hyperinflation. So the Federal Reserve continually prints more money. And if you read the Magombo Guru report every week from Kitco.com, you can get Kitco.com and then look at Richard Doughty's Magombo Guru report. He reports every week on the status of inflation and the amount of money that is being printed and put into circulation. That's the fiat currency called the United States dollar. Now, that's been going on since 9/11. It's a last-ditch effort or gamble to keep the economy going for a few more years. And the longer this goes on, the better it makes us all feel. None of us want to go through the Great Depression of the 1930s or the great inflationary debacle of Germany in the 1920s. We all know it's coming. It's kind of like, you know, you've misbehaved, and when Dad comes home, he's going to whip you. But he's not home yet. We don't know when he's coming home. It may be tonight or tomorrow night or the next night, but we know that ultimately old Dad will return, and when old Dad comes, the day of reckoning is coming. You ever remember having an experience like that? Now, with Hurricane Katrina, the numbers aren't quite $1 trillion. To date, the direct cost of Hurricane Katrina is $750 billion. Now, that's three-quarters of $1 trillion, not quite as much as the trade towers. And remember, I'm not talking just about the cost of replacing the trade towers. I'm talking about the economic costs that are associated with it. For instance, the payoff for all of the victims' families was $2 billion. And then the loss of trade, commerce, business, and industry comes into play. What was the loss to the gross domestic product as a result of it? Well, listen to some of these numbers that come down. After 3 weeks, now this occurred August the 27th, and by the end of the first week, we didn't know too much. There were guesstimates. And then the second week, and then the third week, now we're getting to a point where the Shell Oil Company has been able to come into their refineries and make some assessments. Insurance underwriters are now on the scene, and they're taking a look at the destruction, and they're comparing it to Hurricane Andrew and Hurricane Camille and other disasters that have occurred over the last 10 years or so, you know, like the Mississippi floods of 1993, the North Ridge earthquake of 1994, the four hurricanes that hit Florida last year in 2004, the 9/11 attacks in 2001. Then there was the Oakland Hills fires in 1991, the Laguna Beach and Malibu fires of 1993, Hurricane Andrew in 1992, and now we have the New Orleans Hurricane Katrina in 2005. Now, that's eight major hits that we have experienced in this country over the last 15 years. And every time one of those events transpires, a lot of money has to be spent to clean up the mess and to straighten out the damages and to replace the damaged materials. Never before in our history have we seen a city the size of New Orleans. It's the 23rd largest city in the nation. Out of 400 major metropolitan areas or major metropolitan cities of 250,000 or more people, New Orleans ranks right in there at number 23. 1.5 million people live there. 1 million people have been displaced. And there's great criticism that the United States didn't act very fast, and they're still not doing very well at the job. But boys and girls, never before in history has there been an event like this. The explosion of Krakatoa in 1883 killed 36,000 people around the world. It was the biggest volcanic eruption, which triggered tidal waves around the world and killed 36,000 people. Now, that's a lot of dead bodies. But the economic consequences that came from it are nowhere near what we've just seen with this Hurricane Katrina. Same thing is true with Mount St. Helens. When Mount St. Helens went off, it killed 100 people or less. It wasn't a great event, and it didn't have the impact, the economic impact. Yeah, a few people lost their jobs, and yes, a big forest was destroyed, and yes, there was a lot of damage and a lot of cleanup, but nothing that we couldn't afford. But Hurricane Katrina is something more than we can afford. Now, I've got a couple of documents here called Katrina by the Numbers, and it's very revealing as to the scope of this event. Listen to some of the numbers. Here are the number of days that eyed Katrina before she reached the U.S. Gulf Coast on 8/28. 7 days. So there was 7 days of warning, 7 days for which we were ready and prepared for the event when it transpired. Unlike an earthquake, unlike a volcano, unlike a tidal wave where there was no warning whatsoever, there was 7 days of warning here. And the number of days since Katrina slammed into the U.S. Gulf Coast as of this writing was 5 days. And the number of days before the U.S. federal government responded, 4 days. And the number of months in the hurricane season is 6, that ends on November the 30th. And the number in line of named tropical storms and hurricanes for Katrina is 11. And the number of current tropical storms and hurricanes in the Atlantic Basin is 13. See if I can clear that static for you. Now, the number of tropical depressions formed in the Atlantic Basin is 14. The area covered by federal disaster declarations is 90,000 square miles. 90,000 square miles. Let me give you an illustration of that. That's bigger than the entire state of Idaho. bigger than the entire state of Oregon or Washington, 90,000 square miles. That's a big piece of real estate. That's almost as big as states like Montana, you know, 100,000 square miles, or Nevada, 100,000 square miles. 90,000 square miles just devastated. But it gets worse. The wind speed of Katrina was 140 miles an hour, about the same as Hurricane Andrew when it came ashore there at Miami. The number of Katrina's hurricane category at landfall is called a Category 4 storm. The combined strength of the New Orleans hurricane levees, or length rather, is 350 miles. That was a shocker to me. 350 miles of levees surround the city of New Orleans. There were only two breaches. The size of the gap in the New Orleans 17th Street Canal was 300 feet. That just knocked out 300 feet of 350 miles of levees and destroyed the entire city. It's kind of like the old story of the little boy who put his finger in the dike over in Holland, or the weakest link, or the strongest chain is no stronger than its weakest link. Well, the 350 miles of levees were no stronger than the weakest 300 feet on 17th Street. The depth of the water covering parts of New Orleans is 20 feet, and the percent of New Orleans underwater is 80%. And the number of days that the engineers and crews expect to need to dry out the city is 36 to 80 days. That's why I said it's more than just a disaster, it is a catastrophe. It's a catastrophe for all of us, not just the people of New Orleans. Because immediately after the event in New Orleans, the price of gasoline in Tennessee hit $4.35. Here in my county, it hit about $3.25. It's back down to $2.55, which is just a little bit higher than it was before Katrina. But there are shortages now in the system. And the amount that this is going to add to inflation, I'll show you some numbers as we progress along. The price of plywood has gone up 25%. The price of a new house nationwide is up $10,000. That's the new construction cost, just because of Katrina. The diversion of the building materials out of the stream of building materials nationwide that will be needed to go into New Orleans and rebuild those houses on the Gulf Coast and in the city of New Orleans is going to raise the price of the average house, of which we build approximately 2 million of those every year, 2 million new houses, $10,000 each. The president, talk about generosity now. President Bush on nationwide TV just the other night said that we would spare no cost in the rehabilitation and the costs involved in rebuilding New Orleans and the Gulf Coast. I thought that was really big of him. Spare no cost, whatever it takes. Now, when you're spending other people's money, you know, I guess you can speak like that, but the guy is spending my money and your money, spending the money of people in California, Washington, and Oregon. And it's going to be spent by the federal bureaucracy, which will give us approximately 5 or 10 cents worth of real value on every dollar being spent. Now, let me give you an illustration. I've said before, and I'll say it again, that there isn't anything that government cannot do half as well for twice as much money. When we look at education, there was a time in America when Americans educated their own children. There was no public education in our country under our Constitution from 1787 to 1900 as a general rule. It got started in 1836, but generally public education was not the norm, and it wasn't the norm in the federal at the federal level until 1937. Now look at what's happened. Today, it costs $7,000 to educate one child in public school for 1 year, and we call this free public education. It's the 10th plank to the Communist Manifesto. Free education for all children in public school, it costs $10,000. When you homeschool a child, the average cost is $546 a year, and when you send him to a parochial school, a private school, it's under $3,000 a year to educate one child for 1 year. That's why I said there isn't anything that government can't do half as well for twice as much. Now, the results that you get from public education as an illustration. In public school, your child will score at the 50th percentile, in homeschool, the 86th percentile, and in parochial school, the 80th percentile. Approximately 60% better education for less than half the money spent when you do it privately. Now, there was a big complaint during the Katrina event that the federal government and FEMA in particular were responding too slowly and hadn't been prepared. That's very normal for government bureaucracy. The Red Cross was on the scene right away. They could have done more faster, but the federal government wouldn't let them into the disaster area for 5 full days. Private churches and other private organizations were on the scene, especially the news organizations, to let us know what was going on before the hurricane, during the hurricane, and immediately after the hurricane. Makes us kind of wonder why it is that CBS and ABC can have reporters on the scene in the French Quarter before, during, and after the hurricane, but FEMA, with billions and billions of dollars at their disposal, couldn't get there for 5 days and kept the Red Cross out for 5 days. I don't know what that was all about. I'll leave that for you to conclude for yourself. But those are the facts that come out of this report. So I'm not so sure that it's the government's fault. It's that government, in any undertaking that it undertakes, cannot do it as cheaply, as efficiently, or as well as people can working by themselves. But there has been a metamorphosis in our political thinking in this country. From 1787 to 1900, we believed that small government, a republican form of government, where people had freedom to produce and to act on their own behalf, was the ultimate in government citizen connection or response. Today we believe that big, all-powerful democratic government is the way to go. So starting about 1900, we began this metamorphosis, and we have shifted now from the limited government to the all-pervasive, massive government with billions of dollars, like Homeland Security with a budget of $40 billion a year, a whole lot more than the Red Cross does. Now, the Red Cross, with $400 million, has done more than Homeland Security has done with $40 billion. So they haven't had one-tenth, they haven't had 1% of the money available, and they've done 10 times more real work. Now, why it is that we believe that government is, or big government is, the solution to all of our problems, I don't know. They've never demonstrated that. We've never seen that event transpire out here in the real world, and people are getting a good look at how big government responds to a real catastrophe like Hurricane Katrina. They fell on their face, and it doesn't work, and that's because big government doesn't work. Big government is not there to accomplish education. It's there to employ 237,000 teachers to a level of standard of living that they want to become accustomed to. It's for employing people. It's not for educating people. And the same thing is true here with FEMA. FEMA isn't there to alleviate distress in a catastrophe. FEMA is there to employ people and spend money to stimulate the economy. All of these government agencies and programs, which are there for the defense of the homeland, that's not for the defense of the homeland, and you'll see that as time progresses along. Homeland Security will not make your homeland secure, and they will not protect you from your enemies. The reason for Homeland Security is to employ tens of thousands of people to keep them off the streets and out of the pool halls. That's what big government is really all about. Now, here are some physical facts. The height of the wall of water that hit the Mississippi coast was 30 feet. Boy, that was a shocker. That was like a 30-foot tidal wave. And Gulfport and Biloxi, Mississippi, buildings that were wiped out by the storm surge, 90%. Unbelievable. I've been through there a number of times. I don't know the populations of Gulfport and Biloxi, but I imagine they're around 50,000, 30, 40, 50, 60,000 people in those towns. They're pretty good-sized towns. They have big gambling casinos. I think there were six gambling casinos there that employed 15,000 people and paid something on the order of, I don't know, a couple billion dollars a year in taxes to the state government there in Mississippi. Just wiped out. Gone. Now, I've said before that the news media talks a lot about disasters. You know, the space shuttle, you know, when it was burned up on reentry here a few years back, they called that a disaster when seven or eight astronauts got killed. And I thought to myself, I think that's an inappropriate term for the word disaster, because I've seen automobile accidents that killed seven or eight people. Now, that was an accident, but it certainly didn't measure up to a disaster. Now, a disaster is something that is serious, that's pretty unprecedented. Mount St. Helens was a disaster, but not a catastrophe. We can recover from it, and, you know, it's expensive, and it's a diversion, and it's something that we could all live without. But, yeah, I think that would qualify as a disaster. But this is something more even than a disaster, because the American economy will not recover from this. This is the second hit now, the second trillion-dollar hit. And when we get into the economics of this thing here, and I show you the numbers, they just boggle your mind. Boggled your mind. I never suspected that the hurricane that was predicted to hit New Orleans at some point in time. And come to find out, they have been expecting this. Now, we have about 10 hurricanes every year, and this has been going on for 30 years that I know of. I told you, 20 or 25 years ago, I was told about it. Now, they had a hurricane hit there called Hurricane Betsy. It was pretty bad and caused a lot of damage, but it wasn't the big one. It's kind of like San Francisco. You know, in 89, they had an earthquake there and killed a few people and tore up the real estate, but it wasn't the big one. They're still waiting for that big one. And when it occurs, do you think FEMA will be any better prepared for you people out in San Francisco and Oakland and the Bay Area or Los Angeles than they were for New Orleans? I don't think so. And I'm not sure that FEMA actually, or that the federal response, or that the state governments, or the mayor of New Orleans, or any of the people that were involved, actually did a bad job. Who could have foreseen a 30-foot wall of water striking the Mississippi Gulf Coast? It's never happened before. You've never had a tidal surge like that. You've had many, many hurricanes. And New Orleans has been hit by hurricanes. You just haven't been hit by a Class 4 hurricane and then had one of your levees break. That hasn't happened. That's something that's new. But it's something that has been predicted, something that has statistically been anticipated. Now, at 10 hurricanes a year for 30 years, that's 300 chances that you're going to get hit with a hurricane in New Orleans. You got two more as I speak tonight that are out in the Atlantic Ocean headed toward Cuba and Key West and southern Florida. And those two hurricanes are probably going to come into the Gulf of Mexico. Hell, they could hit New Orleans again. Lightning can strike twice. Or they could hit Florida again. You got hit with four last year. Why not four more this year? Or Texas. You know, Corpus Christi, Texas got hit with, or it was Galveston, I'll take it back, Galveston, Texas, with a hurricane in 1900, killed 6,000 people and destroyed the city. And when Galveston was destroyed in 1900, you didn't have FEMA. The people of Galveston had to get up off of their butts and go to work and find the bodies and bury them. And there was some state relief and there was some private relief. The federal government never got involved with that. The people in New Orleans are sitting there shaking their heads and saying, how come you were so slow? The people in Galveston in 1900 never expected any help. After all, we had a limited government, and government's job wasn't in coming out here and rebuilding people's houses. The theory was that America was the land of the free and the home of the brave. You have a choice to make, and if you want to live in Galveston, Texas, that's fine. But if you get hit by a hurricane and your house is blown down, that's your problem in life. It's not the problem of the people that live in Casper, Wyoming, or Lincoln, Nebraska. And if a tornado comes through Lincoln, Nebraska and destroys your home, it's the choice you made, folks. It's not the responsibility of the people that live in Seattle, Washington, or Portland, Oregon to rebuild your house in Lincoln, Nebraska. Now things have changed. With our democratic viewpoint, we believe that America is one whole nation, and that what happens in New Orleans, Casper, Wyoming, or Lincoln, Nebraska affects everybody in the family, and we've got to come in there and rebuild it. And furthermore, it has to be rebuilt publicly, not privately, publicly, with public dollars. And boy, isn't that going to be... isn't that going to be another Halliburton? They've already started letting contracts with no bids. I mean, it is going to be a free-for-all over money. The $11 billion that was lost in Iraq, you know, just disappeared. You're going to have billions of dollars like that just disappear. I mean, there's going to be lots of money made. I'm not sure that it's going to be so good for the people down here at the lower levels, but there's going to be tons of money made off of this catastrophe. Well, hang on, I got to give you a reminder that you're listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review, sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. For more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. georgegordon.org. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school and is open to individuals by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. The Law Hour website is updated weekly, and it has our radio log schedule and archives, and it can be accessed through the website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide on the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. The Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, economics, education, politics, religion, news, and current events 7 days a week. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the Law School direct at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone, and they do not necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, management, or staff of this network or local radio station. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, or call the Law School direct at 417-273-4967. All right, I'm taking a look at Hurricane Katrina. By the numbers, a 30-foot wall of water hit the Gulf Coast. The Gulf Coast. 90% of the buildings were destroyed. Surprisingly, only 126 people were killed in Mississippi, 2 in Alabama, 11 in Florida. Latest report, the total death toll is around 700, way, way below the 10,000 or 50,000 that was predicted when an event like this transpired. I suppose that has to do with the fact that we had 7 days warning with plenty of time to evacuate before the event transpired. The number of corpses collected in St. Bernard Parish is 100 so far. They've marked 25. They're recovering bodies right now. The number of people currently displaced, 1 million people. Not even in World War II, with the bombing of whole cities, did you have the displacement of 1 million people. Yeah, it's true that those people had to move from place to place, but not all at the same time. The people that were moved in Germany and then in England and so on, many people were displaced, many people were moved, but not 1 million, not all at the same time. And with the tidal wave over in Indonesia, once the tidal wave came in and the water went back out, those people had a place to stand. In New Orleans, the water came in, and as of this moment in time, they don't have a place to stand. That's the difference. And they're pumping the water out just as fast as they can. But this is a long-term duration flood, kind of like the flood in the Mississippi River, the upper Mississippi, back in the early 1990s, where the water was standing in people's houses for 6 weeks. Listen, those houses are totally destroyed when the water soaks into the insulation, the sheetrock, and into the floors and into the wood and warps all of your floors and warps your walls. The house is just a total wreck. If the water comes in and the water goes out, it causes a mess and you can clean it up. When the water sits there, now take a look at the problem with New Orleans. Not only do they have the water, but it's a toxic soup. All of the gasoline tanks and all of the automobiles that were covered, all of the gas stations that were covered, the gasoline floated out of those underground tanks. And the chemical plants and all of the industrial plants that were in the city and in the surrounding areas, all of that toxic soup floated to the top of the water and was trapped inside the city. As the water is pumped out, it does two things. One, it pumps all of that toxic waste out into Lake Pontchartrain and the Mississippi River to pollute the environment around you. And what's left pollutes the environment within the city. It's a toxic waste dump that people are going to have to clean up before they can go back to live there. Not like Indonesia, where when they go back to rebuild, okay, the house was destroyed and we can go back and rebuild it. Yeah, your house is destroyed in Biloxi, but you can go back and rebuild it in New Orleans. You got to clean up the toxic waste dump first. And remember, this is the nation's 23rd largest city. And this is not small potatoes. The American Red Cross has 101 shelters working. The number of days that the military and local authorities have kept the American Red Cross from entering New Orleans is 5 days. The number of meals that the American Red Cross is serving to evacuees outside of New Orleans is 500,000 meals a day. Now, immediately after the hurricane, the American Red Cross was on the scene way before FEMA. The Salvation Army and hundreds of churches and other organizations were on the scene. Those are the people that delivered the real help, not government and government agencies, in spite of all of the money that's being spent on these government agencies. Well, of course, it employs people and keeps your economy going. The number of people rescued by the Coast Guard from flooded areas and rooftops was 4,000 in the first 5 days. Just a handful. But once they got the operation going, they were rescuing 10,000 people a day. A day. Once they got geared up. Now, they had 50,000 people in shelters like the Superdome and the Convention Center. They evacuated 60,000 people from that Superdome. The 8-mile twin span bridge connecting New Orleans with Slidell, Louisiana, collapsed into Lake Pontchartrain. 40% of it collapsed into the lake. Unprecedented. We've never seen 40% of a bridge like that. It's an 8-mile long bridge and 40% of it collapsed. Can you imagine what that's going to cost to repair? Well, they're talking about $200 billion to repair this damage. The number of destroyed miles on U.S. Highway 90 running along the Gulf Coast between New Orleans and Pascagoula, Mississippi is 100 miles of highway destroyed. And the residents of the city of New Orleans, 460,000 people in New Orleans, that is the city, and there's 1.5 million people in the greater New Orleans area, 1 million of them were displaced, and 400,000 people are unemployed. 400,000 people. So the Department of Labor said, well, that's going to spike the unemployment from 4.9 to 5.1 or 5.2. Boys and girls, I think we're missing the point. Missing the point. You see, there's a ripple effect that goes with that 400,000 people that find themselves unemployed. For instance, it's kind of like the Army. For every soldier that you have on the front lines, you have to have five in behind that line to deliver the ammunition, the food, the gasoline. You've got to have supplies going up to the line. And it takes a bunch of people in the Navy running ships back and forth from the United States to Iraq to deliver the goods. So you got 140,000 troops on the ground over there, but you got five times that many people that are supplying those 140,000 troops. And the same thing is true in employment. When you have 400,000 people that get knocked out of a job, and these people are going to be knocked out of their employment for some time, then that affects other people's employment. Let me give you an illustration. Let's suppose that you work for the Sunbeam Mixmaster Company in Los Angeles. And the Sunbeam Company makes 1 million of these Mixmasters, you know, every year. And let's suppose that they employ 100 people. Now, 1 million people down in New Orleans who have been displaced suddenly are no longer buying these Mixmasters because they've got more pressing needs than buying Mixmasters. And so they don't buy. And all of a sudden, the Mixmaster company wakes up one day and they say, gee, we used to be selling, you know, 200 or 300 of these a day. Now we're only selling 150 to 200 of these a day. And now we don't need 100 people working. We only need 80 people working, and they lay 20 people off. The 400,000 or 500,000 that are laid off in New Orleans and the 1 million people that are displaced are going to impact upon companies as far away as Los Angeles and Portland, Maine. Just like we saw with the gasoline. You see, a lot of gasoline comes from the Gulfport area. That is, I'll give you some numbers as we progress along with the number of oil rigs that have been destroyed and the amount of petroleum that is being processed down there. And you'll notice that right away, the price of gasoline went up pretty dramatically. Now here it's only gone up modestly from $2.50 to $2.55, and this is about 3 or 4 weeks out from the event, third week as I speak. So it's gone up here a nickel, but nationwide it's gone up 50 cents. And you people in California, 1,500 or 2,000 miles away from ground zero, are paying for that. And every 50 cents that you have to spend on a gallon of gas in Los Angeles is 50 cents less that you're going to spend at Walmart or someplace else doing something else, which is going to impact upon somebody else's employment. Now, that's the overall cost, the hidden costs. Now, listen to these numbers. The lost wages from 400,000 jobless at $43,000 a year, which is the median average income, is $17 billion. So you're going to lose $17 billion over the next year. Now, you say, well, a lot of these people will be back to work in less than a year. Oh, wait a minute. Hang on a second. The authorities are telling us that it's going to take at least 5 years to rebuild New Orleans. 5 years. Many of you people are not coming back to New Orleans for 5 years. It's kind of like getting rescued off of the roof of your house. There were 60,000 people that were stranded in New Orleans, and they complained that all of these helicopters were flying over and they weren't rescuing us. Well, if you had 60,000 people stranded on rooftops and 60,000 helicopters, you could rescue all of those people in 1 hour. If you have 60,000 people stranded and you have 30,000 helicopters, you could rescue all of those people in 2 hours. Depending upon the number of helicopters and depending upon the number of people, realizing that somebody is going to get rescued first and somebody has to be last. When this whole thing runs its course, somebody's house is going to get rebuilt first and somebody's house is going to have to get rebuilt last. It's just the way of life. And when you go to rebuild 150,000 houses in New Orleans after the decontamination and after, and you take a look at 400,000 people, it's true that all of those people are going to be employed doing something somewhere, doing something over the next 5 years, but not doing what they were doing. And the net result of that, when you take the people in New Orleans who were on welfare, who were the bulk of the people that were transported out, they're not a drain on the economy. They were already on welfare in New Orleans, and now they're on welfare in Houston, Texas, or Casper, Wyoming. That's not the problem. They were already sucking off the public trough. They've only changed their address. They haven't added any new burden to the economy, but the 400,000 people that were working and paying the taxes from the production, the productive sector of the economy, not the FEMA people, not the government bureaucrats. Those are totally unproductive people, just like people on welfare. They just get paid bigger welfare checks working at FEMA and Homeland Security than does some welfare mom on welfare in New Orleans or Harlem. They're not a drain, but these 400,000 people are a drain. It's a $17 billion drain per year. Now, I didn't put 17 times 5. I just put 17 as the results of the hurricane itself. So the lost wages from the jobless is $17 billion. Now, there's another $17 billion lost. Let me show you what happens. If you're a wage earner, you're an electrician, and you're getting paid $15 an hour, and your company builds your time out at $30 an hour, your company is losing $15 an hour, the same as you are losing $15 an hour. And if you end up, like many of these people that are displaced, who were chefs and cooks in New Orleans making $15 an hour, who are now washing cars in Baton Rouge or Lincoln, Nebraska for $5 an hour, that's a loss of two-thirds of your income. That's a loss of two-thirds of the economy, of what you produce and put into the economy. About half of the people of America are the workers and producers, and the other half of America are the consumers. 100% of us are consumers, but only half of us are producers. And when you take 400,000 people who are producers out of the productive economy and you make them consumers, that's $17 billion of direct losses and $17 billion in lost profits. That's $34 billion. Now, there's another big loss here. They're estimating $50 billion worth of insurance losses. Insurance companies that would have invested that $50 billion in new plant and equipment or in new housing or new this or new that or financing government bonds or something else aren't going to do that. They're going to pay the $50 billion out to replace the houses and the businesses and the infrastructure and the highways and other things that are insured. And that's a $50 billion direct loss, just gone. It's like taking a $10 bill and burning it up. $50 billion lost in insurance, $17 billion lost in direct jobs, and $17 billion lost in profits from those jobs every year. The damage money appropriated by Congress is $62 billion. So Congress met and said, okay, let's appropriate $62 billion for this program, rehabilitation of New Orleans and the Gulf Coast. So now they're going out to Seattle, Washington, Portland, Oregon, Casper, Wyoming, and Portland, Maine, and they're going to take $62 billion away from you people and redivert it to somebody else. That's going to take purchasing power and standard of living away from you people and give it to somebody else. Now, the government, the president said that they're not going to raise taxes, so that means that they're going to finance this with more borrowing. That's more expensive over the long haul, because then you have to pay it plus interest. And you're never going to pay the money back because the country's already bankrupt. What that means is that the economy collapses like it did in Argentina. And then the unemployment rate goes from 5.2% to 62%, which it did in Argentina. Then it gets even worse. That's what we have to look forward to in the future. That's down the road 5 years or 2 years or year and a half. I don't know when it's coming. I'm just giving you the facts. $62 billion is appropriated by Congress, and they say they're going to need $200 billion. $200 billion. Boy, you talk about the hogs feeding at the trough. This is a program that Franklin D. Roosevelt couldn't even imagine. This is a WPA. This is a Works Progress program that was unimaginable back even in the Great Depression. But we're going to see it here starting right now in America. The cost of rebuilding and caring for the victims, $200 billion cash out of pocket. $200 billion. That's what they're estimating. They're figuring over the next 5 years. The cost of Katrina energy increase, $140 billion. All you got to do is just take that 50 cents a gallon that was added to the nation's gasoline bill, and that's going to cost all of us $140 billion this year, just paying that extra 50 cents a gallon nationwide. The balance of payments that we have a deficit running $600 to $700 billion, well, that's going to go up $10 billion a month because New Orleans is the biggest port in the country. I didn't know that until I read it in the papers. New Orleans, the 23rd largest city. You know, I would have thought the largest port in America would be something on the order of New York, San Francisco, Long Beach, Seattle. I never would have dreamed New Orleans. New Orleans, the number one port, the number of dollars of volume, the number of tons that come in and go out of New Orleans is larger than any other seaport in the United States. And furthermore, of the 12 largest seaports in the country, the Gulf Coast has five of them. Five of the top 12, five of the largest seaports are on the Gulf Coast. I didn't know that, but now you do. The balance of payments increase is $120 billion for the year 2005-2006 over the next 12 months. Farm losses, a modest $2 billion. You farmers out there are going to lose $2 billion because of this all over the nation, because you won't be able to ship your goods down the Mississippi River and through New Orleans. You'll have to ship them by truck or by rail, which is going to cost you more money and add $2 billion to your costs, which is going to take $2 billion out of your pocket. So not only is the government going to indebt you or tax you, but there, in addition to that, you're going to lose that much in income. The added cost to have a house built in this country is going to be $10,000. So every new house built in America next year, and probably the year after, and the year after that, is going to cost $10,000 per house as a direct cause or cost of Hurricane Katrina. Now, that's $20 billion. The same price, or about the same price, as Hurricane Andrew. Can you see why? Hurricane Andrew was a bad hurricane, and it cost $20 billion. And there were other costs associated with it. But this, just the added building costs, $20 billion. The seafood industry is going to rack up losses of about $1 billion, and the tax losses to the state of Mississippi. Now, hold on to your hat. This is pretty shocking. Mississippi is a pretty small state. Mississippi, I don't know what their population is, but you know, maybe they've got 2-3 million people. They're going to lose $3 billion this year in tax revenues. Louisiana is going to lose $2 or $3 billion. Alabama is going to lose $2 or $3 billion. Florida is going to lose $2 or $3 billion. You know, boys and girls, you know, a few billion here and a few billion there, and pretty soon you're here. So Leverett Dirksen once said, he said, you're talking about some real money. Now add those up and you get $615 billion. That's the direct hit so far, and this is just 3 weeks into it, and I'm taking these numbers right out of the newspapers. Some of them are estimates, but here's what you can generally figure on. Whatever the number that government gives you, it's always less than it's going to be by about 2 or 3 times. So when the government says, like the war in Iraq is going to cost us about $60 billion, we're at $200 billion and counting. So, you know, they said 60, it's 3 times that, more than 3 times that and growing. So when they tell you that it's going to be about $200 billion, and that's the number that's floating around right now, you can just count on it going up 3 times that. 3 times that. Here's another big one over here, the loss to the gross domestic product. Now, America produces, they're expecting in the year 2005, a $13 trillion economy, $13 trillion. 1% comes from New Orleans. And they're debating, and they're trying to figure this out right now from the Congressional Budget Office. Is it 1% or is it 5%? 1 or 5? Well, my God, you know, the difference between 1%, which is $130 billion, Just take 130 times 5. It's somewhere between $130 and $650 billion. They're not quite sure what the hit is going to be on the national economy, which affects all of us, boys and girls. Big government and democracy affects everybody, whether you live in Seattle, Washington, Portland, Maine, or New Orleans, Louisiana. We all get to share the cost. Now, I wanted to share with you this thought. Have you ever thought about God in this scenario? We had 7 days warning before Katrina hit New Orleans. Was there any of you people down there in New Orleans, Louisiana, or down in Gulfport or Biloxi, who were praying to God and saying, God, spare us. For God's sake, please tone this hurricane down to a class one. God, steer this hurricane west and let it hit the Mexicans. Aim this hurricane at Cuba, but not at us. Was there anybody down there doing that? Well, it led me to this conclusion. Either one, God's deaf and couldn't hear your prayers. Or two, the atheists and evolutionists are right. There is no God, and we're suffering from random chance, and there was 300 chances over the past 30 years, and this is that one chance in 300, and it hit New Orleans, and that's the breaks of the game. There's a third possibility, and that is God wasn't listening to your prayers. He could have diverted the storm to Cuba or Mexico. He could have toned it down to a class one, but he didn't. Or he's deaf, or he's dead. But there's one more possibility. Has it ever occurred to anybody that God Almighty sent that hurricane with deliberate intent? I think that that hurricane is of biblical proportions, and I think it's got God's fingerprints all over it. Furthermore, I looked through the scripture and I found a signed confession in Deuteronomy 7, verses 8 through 11. A signed confession from God himself said, I did it. My God, why would God send a hurricane, kill 700 people, and cause damage that will ultimately lead to the destruction, the economic, and then ultimately the physical, military destruction of the United States of America? Wild new concept, isn't it? Hey, we'll have to take that up next time when we come back, talking about Katrina by the numbers, next time on the Law Hour and Editorial Review. Remember, you've been listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review, sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. For more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website. It's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, economics, education, politics, religion, news, and current events 7 days a week. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. Time's up. I've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, good night, friends.